Hey everyone, how's it going? Welcome to the Salty Nerd Podcast for a very special edition today. Not only are we talking about werewolf movies, but we are talking about werewolf movies with filmmaker extraordinaire Lynn Kapuscinski. How you doing, Lynn?
Thank you so much for having me. I'm doing great.
And with me also is my lovely lady love, Juju. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Spraying ginger beer all over our studio.
It's a good sound effect.
Yes, indeed. So for those of you who don't know, Lynn came out and visited us here in Las Vegas. And while he was here, we got to watch a lot of his recommendations on movies. And these recommendations, you'd think would be bad, because he recommended a Christopher Lambert ninja movie and a dog versus werewolf movie. Mm-hmm. But they both turned out really, really good.
Yeah.
And we're going to be talking about a 1996 movie.
That is correct, 1996.
Yeah, Bad Moon.
Yeah, you're two for two, Len.
Oh, that's
good recommendations.
That is good.
Yeah, so we just did a live watch for Len's, Forgotten Movie Den podcast, which he does on his Patreon. So go over to Patreon and search for Killer Wolf Films if you want to see that whole live watch with me and Jude freaking out over like this dog versus werewolf thing.
I was very upset about the dog.
Oh man, like we're both dog lovers.
The concern for the dog was very real.
Indeed. You need to watch all the way to the end to see Jude's reaction because it's pretty priceless. Len, what can you tell us about this movie and why we chose to watch it?
I chose this one because, Jude was saying, you know, she loves werewolf movies and things like that. And I thought, well, this one sticks out to me is one of my favorites really in the werewolf genre, right? Mainly because I love German Shepherds and this one has both. So it is German Shepherd versus werewolf. And I really thought this is based on a book by Wayne Smith called Thor. And my German Shepherd puppy is named Thor. So he's named after Thor in this book. And it is...
He's named after this Thor.
After this Thor in the movie. Yeah. So Primo is the name of the dog that played Thor in this movie. So Primo was in a couple different films and things like that. So I chose this one because I do feel it's unique because of that. Really, the dog and Uncle Ted, played by Michael Paré, there's your leads.
Yeah.
Meryl Hemingway is just kind of along for the ride
in
this movie.
She's a strong woman.
She's a strong woman that's kind of along for the ride because this is Primo or Thor, mm-hmm. and Michael Paré is Uncle Ted. This is their movie. It's them versus each other, mm-hmm. and Meryl Hemingway and Dennis the Menace, they're kind of caught in the middle.
Yeah.
So I think it's a fun watch. I think it's paced pretty good. There's a lot of practical effects and a really unique-looking werewolf in this film that I think is kind of, I think the werewolf's pretty well done. But I picked this one. I'm glad you liked it, and we're going to talk about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I found it funny that, so Meryl Hemingway plays a lawyer.
Uh-huh.
And
a strong woman.
And a strong woman. And neither of those really crop up throughout the rest of the movie. like they establish it at the beginning, and then they just kind of forget about both those things. When Lynn said Dennis the Menace, so the child in this movie is played by the same young
Mason
actor.
Gamble, yep.
Who played Dennis the Menace in the movie Dennis the Menace.
And he's kind of a menace.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
True.
And it looks like he looked exactly like he does in Dennis the Menace,
well,
right?
Well, he's still that same guy.
Right, he's still, it is him.
You still look like you. That's crazy.
Did you film Dennis the Menace a year ago? Because you look just like him.
Wild.
Yeah, he's got the same haircut that he had in Dennis the Menace and all that stuff. But what I found interesting was that, so in the book, it's an actual family unit. So father,
yes.
Mother, son, dog. In the movie, they get rid of the father. Why do you think they did that, Lynn?
Why'd they get rid of the father? I think it's just when this movie plays out, it's clearly meant to not be a ton of characters. They want you to focus on dog versus Ted. And like
dog
I said, Meryl Hemingway's
Ted.
Character is kind of, along for the ride, like I mentioned. Obviously, Dennis the Menace, Mason Gamble there, he's along for the ride. Why complicate it with a bunch of other characters? Because really, other than those characters, that's our movie. We have a couple, I don't want to say they're extras, but a couple very minor characters like Flopsy and things like that come involved.
Fucking hate that guy.
Yeah. We have characters like that sprinkled along to give us a slasher element to the movie where he gets to kill some characters and stuff, the werewolf does. And I believe they didn't do it because I think the pacing and thing, it runs along smoother when it's just the two of them and this strong... mother and her son and Uncle Ted thing. I think they eliminated characters like that just for like pacing and not having to drag in too many other scenes with other characters. That's my opinion.
So the main villain in this movie is Uncle Ted, And he's played by, what's the name of the actor?
Michael Paré.
Michael Paré.
Eddie and the Cruisers.
So it's basically the uncle comes in and he's become a werewolf, basically. And he's the bad guy in this overall story. And what I found interesting was the way that this movie started off. So it starts off in the jungles with Uncle Ted.
Yeah.
And he's having sex with his girlfriend as the werewolf attacks. Mm-hmm. And we see a very graphic, like, death scene.
Sex scene.
Sex scene slash death scene.
The death scene's a little more graphic than the actual sex scene. We don't really see
get to see some very early booby in this movie.
I've seen a boob before.
Yeah. And then the girl, she doesn't even get to finish before, like, she starts getting mauled by this werewolf. And Uncle Ted kills the werewolf by blowing off its head with a shotgun. Mm-hmm. And then we're back to strong female lawyer Mariel Hemingway. So, but this opening scene was not in the book. Is that correct?
That is correct. Yes, it is not in the book.
Yeah. So, why did they start it off this way?
I think they. Well, I know because I've seen interviews with the director of this movie, Eric Red, who, as I mentioned to you guys, directed a film before this that I think is pretty good too. That was a theatrical release. I think in '92 or '93, called Body Parts. But that's another podcast in entirety. So if you want to go check out Body Parts, same director. Anyways, I know he wanted to start off the movie with a bang. I don't literally, right? So I like it because it gets boobs right at the beginning of the movie. You've got TNA, you've got gore, you have your werewolf, you've got special effects. All this stuff is crammed into the first three minutes minutes of the movie. A big gore scene with the werewolf's head blowing up and stuff like that. And it kind of establishes, too, that we're not just going to go strictly by the book of werewolf lore with silver bullets and things like that. If you blow off his head, it makes sense that he'd be dead. And yes, that shotgun was not a silver bullet shotgun. No, it's just a shotgun and he blew his head off. So I love the opening. I'm glad they did it that way, because if we think about it now, take away the beginning of the movie in the jungle and stuff when he gets, do you get infected by a werewolf?
Mm-hmm.
When
sure.
Is it infected, we can say. When Michael Paré's character, Uncle Ted, gets infected at the beginning of the movie, take away the beginning. Can't you see the beginning of the movie opening with the Oregon landscape and credits, opening credits? Can't it just start like that? I could see it starting that way.
Yeah.
I'm glad it doesn't, but I could totally see it starting that way.
Yeah, it would definitely be a slow burn if you knocked that opening scene
off. I know. Yeah. But nobody wants that. Nobody wants a slow burn werewolf film. If you do A24, don't cancel me or whatever. I don't want a slow burn werewolf movie, man.
Yeah, but there would have been definitely like a little bit more mystery, at least at the beginning, that off. Because you'd be like, what's up with this Uncle Ted thing? Is he just in the kinky sex with those handcuffs?
Yeah.
But I don't think the movie was ever meant to be a mystery, though. I mean, you knew what the setup was going to be. I mean, there was no real, I don't think it was meant to be mysterious at all. Yeah. I don't think.
All right, Jude, so how would you synopsis this movie?
Oh, well, let me read you the most hilarious synopsis on IMDb.
Okay.
1996, Bad Moon. After being bitten by a werewolf in the jungle, Ted looks for a cure. His lawyer sister with a son and dog invites him to park his camper by her house in the woods and live out of her fridge. The end.
Somebody Brilliant. Had a good sense of humor that wrote
no,
that.
No, that completely encapsulated the movie.
Whole movie. Yeah. So, I'm sorry about the spoilers.
Yeah. So this movie actually starts off with like a really creepy scene where Dennis the Menace is playing with the dog Thor and some rando comes walking
up. Oh my God, this fucking guy. I'm so glad. Spoiler, he dies. I'm so glad that he dies.
Everybody is, yeah.
Yeah, but he looks super creepy when he's approaching.
He looks like a pedophile.
Yeah.
This is why people don't let their kids play in the front yard anymore.
And Thor's instantly on guard
with
this one. But it turns out this guy's a con artist. He's trying to provoke the dog into attacking him so he can sue the rich homeowner.
Yeah, he's a flopsy.
Yeah, he's a
flopsy. He should have done his research and not targeted the lawyer.
The lawyer. Targeted the lawyer's house.
Well, it's funny because like after Thor kind of like knocks him on his ass, he's like to Marilyn Hemingway, he's like, I'm going to call my lawyer. I'm going to sue you.
You know, he says, you better get a good lawyer. And she's like, I have me.
Yeah. Yeah. She hands him a business card and she's like, actually, I'm a lawyer.
Yeah. She will actually him.
And this is how we establish that Marilyn Hemingway is a strong female character who doesn't need no man.
Uh-huh.
Not only that, though, I would say this, though. Yes, she confronts Flopsy and isn't afraid of him and tells him she's the lawyer and hands him the business. She also, though, in that very scene, commands this giant dog, sit, stay. And Thor immediately listens to her. So that establishes she's the master of the household.
And that he's a very well-trained dog.
Yes, he's well-trained. It establishes that Merrill Hemingway's character, I don't even know her name in the movie, Sis?
Janet.
Is what, Janet, Janet, yeah. That's right. Janet.
I'm looking up to see if they actually call Flopsy, Flopsy.
Oh, I'm sure they do.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they do.
She also commands the dog. It sets her up as she is the woman of the household kind of thing, the strong person to dog and man, so...
So Flopsy actually comes back later in the movie. Jude, do you want to describe what
happened?
Okay.
So this fucking guy, he's upset that a woman got the better of him.
So he's going to murder everybody.
He comes back. In one hand, he has a plated steak. It looks like a ribeye. It's a real nice cut. He has a plate of steak. And in the other hand, a fucking cleaver. And he's just creeping around her house. And it's unclear who he's... there to murder. Probably the dog.
He goes to the doghouse.
He goes to the doghouse. The steak is probably for the dog, unless he's going to knock on the door and be like, would you like some steak? And I'm going to cleaver
you.
Yeah,
and then you cleaver.
Yeah. But it is unclear if this guy came for what kind of revenge.
Right.
And then the werewolf.
Is he out to murder just Thor?
Yeah.
Is he going to murder Thor and then everyone?
Because he's muttering to himself, like, oh, stupid woman got the best of me, lawyer. Oh, I'll show you.
Right. He does say that. I'll show you.
Yeah. But he's at the doghouse.
Mm-hmm.
Like the literal doghouse.
The doghouse. Right. Yeah. The dog's house.
Yeah. So he gets killed by the werewolf in a very gruesome fashion.
Oh, yeah. Great.
That was a really good death scene.
Yeah, good death scene.
Yeah. And it was very satisfying because we all hated that character.
Yeah.
But was that in the book, Lynn, that character and that death?
Yeah, you have all those things. I don't want to spoil a bunch of it, but yeah, you're going to have those moments. The big differences, I think, between the movie and the book, I can talk about that a little bit without totally spoiling it.
I mean, this movie came out in 96.
Let's not worry about spoils on the Salty Nerd podcast.
Well, I'll spoil some of the big differences then. And one of the big differences is obviously the family dynamic. In the book, there is a brother, a sister, a mom, a dad, the dog, Uncle Ted. Uncle Ted is Uncle, he is a werewolf and stuff in, you know, his name's Uncle Ted. They kept a lot of similar character names and stuff like that. But the family dynamic is way different. Thor, as he's trying to kind of warn the family about Uncle Ted, they kind of see it in the book as like bad behavior. Like, Thor, what are you acting up about? What's your problem with Uncle Ted? You know, so they kind of see it like the dog is misbehaving and kind of punish him. But you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You're getting locked in your room. You're getting locked in your room, Thor. What's your
deal? Do you know when the book came out?
Not too far ahead of the movie.
Really?
A couple years.
Okay.
It's on paperback for probably $5 on Amazon.
Okay.
I know my significant other, her mom, just requested to read it because she's like, your dog's named after a book? And I was like, yeah, it's Thor. And she's like, well, I want to read it. So we got her the book and stuff like that. So Wayne Smith is the author of Thor. But it's easily found on Kindle and Amazon and those things. But that's a big difference of the book. But another big difference is, and I think you guys can agree on this, in the film, right off the bat, Thor knows Uncle Ted, something's up. There's not a lot of struggle in Thor's brain, it seems like, in the movie. In the book, Thor is actually kind of struggling on what he's supposed to do because Uncle Ted is still family. German Shepherds are very family-oriented dogs.
Yeah.
So is Uncle Ted somebody Thor has to respect, as part of his pack now, or is it a threat that he has to eliminate?
Mm-hmm.
And the dog, Thor in the book, struggles with that. And the other big difference, I guess, number three here is, I'd say 75%, 80% of the book as told as if you're Thor and what he's thinking and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
The other 20%, narrative and stuff like that. But those are the big differences, I would say, between, the movie and the book.
Yeah, the book sounds really interesting. Like, it's not often you get like a story told from the point of view
that
of,
perspective,
of the pet.
Yeah.
Hey, guys. If you could do me a quick favor, if you like this episode and it tickles your fancy or any other episode that we've done in the past, share it on social media and tag us in that post so that we know you're talking about us. And we will immediately jump onto that app and we will respond to your tag. And we can talk about what you like about the episode and possibly talk about something that we might want to cover in the future. And we would love to bring you in our community. We have a wonderful Discord app as well. There's a bunch of people in there that just love chatting with us. And we'd love to hear from you. So if you like this podcast, tag us in that post and we'll get back to you as soon as we can. Thank you guys so much. Back to the podcast.
So Jude.
Yeah.
What was your overall opinion of this movie?
I loved it. I thought it was great. I'm a little upset at me for not having already watched it because...
You're welcome.
You know how much I love horror movies and monster movies. This is right up my alley. So I'm really glad that we watched this today. Thank you for recommending it.
Yeah, and I will say the practical effects of the werewolf and stuff like that were all really well done.
Yeah. I'll take a practical effect over CG any fucking
day. The flopsy death scene, I think the special effects are really well done. You see his fingers mangled and hanging off his
it was like,
and everything. It's pretty well done.
Like they did things in that scene that were unnecessary, but it added so much to the scene. It was a really good death scene.
You know what wasn't really good? What's the Uncle Ted actor's name?
Michael Paré.
Michael Paré's bad Sylvester Stallone impression that he did the entire movie.
Things haven't been going so good for me since I got back from the jungle, sis.
Having you up here was really great, sis. It really lifted my spirits a lot.
But why only the full moon? Why not any moon?
This guy sounds so much like he's trying to do a Sylvester Stallone impression with his voice. It just took me out every time he opened his mouth.
It's like, hey, yo, Janet, it's like, I might got what you call it, like a relaxed brain, but I ain't punchy, man. I ain't punchy. Like when I turn my hat, it's like a switch. And that's from Over the Top.
I love Over the Top.
I just watched it before I came out here. It's like, it takes no brains to run this semi, kid. You know, you're a bundle of joy. Why don't you slide over here and drive, genius?
I'm a drive my truck. And work out.
Yeah. That is kind of badass, but I mean, yeah.
What was the author's name? I'm looking it up right now.
Wayne Smith is the author
Wayne
of Thor.
Wayne Smith.
The director of this movie is Eric Red.
Yeah, and he actually did a really good job, I thought. Like, the movie was very well shot. It was very well paced. Nothing felt out of sorts. Like, it wasn't, like, cheesy. This could have very easily become cheesy, like dog versus like werewolf.
Well, I could see Dennis the Menace probably trying his best to pull this into the cheesy realm, and they didn't let him do it. And that you got to tip your hat to Eric Red there.
Yeah. But it was I wouldn't say it was a tense movie, but it was kind of interesting to see like how they built up the rivalry between the dog and the uncle. And the uncle gets like super like, you know, like I'm going to fuck with this dog at a certain point. But it was really interesting because... So the dog goes out. What happens is the uncle basically goes into the woods by the house and chains himself up at night because apparently all that is required to turn him into a vampire is a moon.
A werewolf.
Werewolf.
I'm sorry, werewolf. Yeah. You're correct. But, you know, like it doesn't matter if it's a full moon, half moon. As long as the moon is out, he turns into a werewolf. So he goes out. He chains himself to a tree so like he can't like kill anyone. And one night Thor kind of follows him out there. And sees him change the tree, and Thor the dog is like, this ain't good.
Yeah, Thor's like, fuck this guy.
Yeah, well now, I think, like I said, one of the big differences is I think in that scene, Matt, we really know at this point, there's not a lot of mental struggle going on in Thor's brain. Yeah. He knows he's going to have to eliminate Uncle
Ted. Well, he found the werewolf's first victim. Thor had gone out earlier and found like this corpse of this tree measurer who...
but that wasn't at the lawyer's house, though. That was out where Uncle Ted was living by a lake or something like that.
Yeah, but he found Teddy's first victim.
Yes.
And so at that point, the dog is like very suspicious. And then when he sees the werewolf, he's like, oh, okay, Uncle Ted's a bad guy. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so the next day he goes and he pisses on Uncle Ted's tire on his
incites a fucking war.
Yeah,
yeah, he basically marks his territory.
Yes, and it's
as soon as Uncle Ted sees that or smells it, he's like, oh, you fucking dog.
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah. And then Thor gets captured and taken away by the dog pound or whatever.
We'll get to that. But I mean, like, there's a big, long buildup of the rivalry between Thor and Ted.
Oh, it's a pissing contest.
It's literally a pissing contest. Yeah.
I guess my point was going to be Uncle Ted gets him back for pissing on his tire later in the movie.
Well, it's funny because at first Ted's trying to be like, oh, hey, buddy, you know, like you're a dog, I'm a human, like, let's be friends.
Yeah.
And the more he realizes that the dog doesn't like him, the more kind of antagonistic their relationship gets.
Right.
Because at a certain point, Thor just starts standing guard in front of the door to Ted's trailer. Mm-hmm. And when Ted tries to go out to chain himself up to the tree, Thor's there and he's like, oh, shit, like, this dog's blocking my way. And it's because of Thor that Ted basically can't chain himself up in time. And so he turns into a werewolf that gets loose. And that's and so like he endangers the family,
but also saves them from Flopsy.
Right, he does kill Flopsy due to not being chained up.
He does, but at that point, like Thor kind of interrupts his pattern.
Yes,
and when Thor realizes that the werewolf is kind of like encroaching on the family home, we have our first kind of like battle between dog and werewolf, and Meryl Hemingway, who was up at night lawyering.
Doing
lawyer stuff. She turns on like the home security lights and scares off Teddy. That was funny.
She turns on a light. And he's like,
bright light.
But
bright light.
There's a super weird scene. So like earlier on during the day when Ted's in human form, Dennis the Menace is sitting there watching the original Wolfman on TV. And his uncle...
Forrest Carlisle?
Channing. I believe Chaney.
Yeah.
I think.
Lynn Chaney. Another Lynn.
Channing Tatum.
Yeah. Channing Tatum. It's an action reimagining.
Yeah.
The uncle sits down next to his nephew as they're watching the Wolfman, the original Wolfman. And he starts pointing out all the inconsistencies.
Yeah, he's like... It's not how it happens in real life.
You know what, kid? This is not how it happens at all. I'm going to tell you from my luck experience and stuff, this ain't how it goes down, kid.
Maybe there's different kinds of werewolves, but it's been my experience that anyone will do the trick.
Yeah, it was probably the most ridiculous scene in the movie where he's just sitting there. He's like, nah, that's not right.
Uh-huh.
I love Perret's acting in that scene, though. I think it's great.
It's like watching a movie with me where I'm just like, that can't happen.
Well, actually, how werewolves feel and think, here's how it really is.
And also, as this weird scene is going on, we're exposed to Meryl Hemingway buying muffins and then microwaving them.
Mm-hmm.
And her very weird taste in watermelon art.
She has a watermelon above her television. Like, not an actual watermelon, a painted watermelon above her TV.
As you do.
It's kind of an odd choice it's odd design, I think, because
she is a strong woman in the 90s.
But they also kind of...
Enough said.
Okay.
They also kind of imply that, like, she can't cook.
Right.
So like, she's, like, warming up...
Did you see that pot pie?
That was disgusting. I was going to get to that. So in addition to warming up muffins in the microwave... there's a dinner scene later on in the movie where
Len is struggling.
I can feel it. I
can't do gross food. I can't.
I can watch blood and guts and a surgery or whatever,
but
you name
don't
it.
Eat it.
But I cannot. I can't watch people or even like. I can't do gross food. I can't do it.
So later on in the movie, they never make a point of showing us what the actual dinner is, but we kind of came to the conclusion that it was mincemeat pie.
It steals the fucking scene.
And Dennis the Menace, he's distraught over something that happened with Thor.
It's so gross.
And he's like,
I can feel it in my throat.
He's like mashing the mincemeat on his plate. And while we were watching while we were watching that, Lynn was like,
I could feel it in my throat.
All of us. This is an intense scene, and there's like a lot happening in this scene, and all of us were like, the fuck is happening on the kid's plate?
There's pears and stuff sitting there, but that plate of shit was just eat the pear.
So this was the one true horror scene in this horror movie.
That was the scariest thing in the whole movie.
I think it'd be fun to point out also, I mean, pretty much immediately, this whole family, forget about Uncle Ted for a second, this whole family is all in Ted's shit.
Yeah.
They're rooting through his stuff in his trailer. Dennis the Menace goes in completely. I think he might have invited him in there to go sit.
No wonder he didn't tell her when he came back to town. Yeah. He camps out in the middle of fucking nowhere with his Airstream. The second he tells his sister, hey, I'm in town, her kid goes in, rummages through all of his shit,
blows through his film.
Use up all of his film, because it's the 90s. They don't have digital cameras.
Mm-mm.
And like looks at his werewolf Bible, smells his piss tubes.
So the Uncle Ted, he's actually kind of like a biologist or something.
Yeah, he's like a scientist or something.
He's like a scientist. And so like...
He was out in the jungle doing science.
Yeah, in the opening scene when his girlfriend got slaughtered, he was out there doing science-y stuff.
Yeah.
And in the time between that and him returning home to his sister, he'd been trying to figure out some type of cure for his werewolfism.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's got all these vials of like his werewolf piss and stuff like that in his very small trailer.
Uh-huh.
And he's also got this massive thick werewolf tome. That I guess he like.
Where did he get this?
I guess he stole it from the library somewhere or something like that. Right. But
when you become a werewolf, it's the rite of passage that the werewolf tome gets handed down to you. It just comes in the mail.
When is this book due to come back?
A raven drops it off at your Airstream.
Yeah, and it's like an ancient book, too. It's got like a leather-bound cover and like stuff
aged
like
pages
that.
Yeah, stuff.
All of the drawings are drawn.
Yeah. And so like Dennis the Menace finds like the piss vials and like the microscope, and then he finds the werewolf Bible. Mm-hmm. And he's
like, ew, piss!
And he's like going through the book, and it even says like history of the werewolf in like the title or something like that. And he's like, what the fuck is this? Mm-hmm. And it's funny because like at a certain point, like there's a picture of a werewolf like tearing like a villager apart.
Eating a baby or something. Yeah, tearing a baby or something away.
I would have been like, it would have been funny if it was like a naked girl who was like having sex just like in the opening scene. I think that would have been
she's got a hand on her boob.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Well, not right after Dennis rummages through all of his shit.
Oh, the most awkward scene in the movie.
The sister comes in
and roots through all of his shit. Mm-hmm. Questions him about his handcuffs.
The dog comes in and roots through his shit. And then the sister comes in and roots through his shit.
And she finds these pair of very heavy-duty handcuffs.
They're like, what were they, maximum?
Maximum security.
Yeah.
And it's just like, well.
She's like holding his sex handcuffs. She's like, ew.
What do you do with these, Ted? And mind you, at this point, everybody and the dog has gone through all of his shit.
Yeah.
At this point, there's no reason they suspect anything is wrong with
like,
Uncle Ted.
Lady, you think those are sex handcuffs of your brothers. Unhand them.
Yeah, he keeps saying, like, can you put those down? Can you give those back to me? And she's like, what are you doing with these things?
Right. Well, and gross. Like I told you guys during when we were watching it, he's a 40-year-old man.
Yeah.
He has probably had sex before. I mean, you know what I mean? He's 40 years old, Janet. But that's the lawyer mom and her. You're going to play by my rules, Ted.
Yeah.
But by the way, you can come and go as you please, but play by my rules.
Yeah.
What the fuck does that mean?
I can't believe you brought your sex handcuffs around my fucking 11-year-old who went through all of your shit.
You keep your sex life to yourself, Ted. He's trying to, lady.
Yeah.
And you're going through all of his shit.
Yeah, get out of my Airstream.
And also the impetus for the heel turn towards the end of the movie where he decides to like kill his sister.
Yeah. He becomes a dick. Fast.
Yeah,
but it's when Thor gets captured or taken away. Yeah,
yeah, but so like at the end of the movie, he's like, you're always controlling me. I've tried to leave so many times, but you'd never let me. I'm like, how old are you, dude?
You were just in the jungle.
Right.
I guess he doesn't have a car to tow his trailer
right
away.
Yeah.
So, but like he made it a point that
he can only get so far on foot before night falls, the moon comes up, and he becomes a werewolf again.
But he made it a point to say like his sister was so controlling of him.
Right.
And so,
you're
like,
always right,
resentful.
Janet. You're always right, Janet. Like, you're always right, you know, Janet. So it's like,
yeah, you got to do it in the Stallone voice to be accurate.
Like, Janet, you know, you're always right or something. And it's like, it kind of is making me feel a little weird, Janet.
You always have to be right, Janet, but this time you're wrong.
So Thor keeps kind of like keeping an eye on Uncle Ted.
Uh-huh.
Because Thor doesn't trust him.
Mm-hmm.
And after their
rightfully
first...
Rightfully so.
Oh, it's on at this point.
After their first tete-a-tete on the front yard.
Tete-a-tete.
When the security lights scared him away. So at that point, Ted is like, oh, this dog's a problem.
Uh-huh.
And so he orchestrates this thing where... So like as Thor is guarding the front door, he orchestrates this thing where his sister comes out and he gets the dog
to
attack him.
He does the same thing to Thor that Flopsy did in the beginning.
But he does it more sly
than
Flopsy.
Better.
Like, all he does is he winks at the dog and the dog just goes apeshit.
Uh-huh.
Right? And so, like, he attacks the arm and this is in front of Mariel Hemingway's character. Uh-huh. And she's so mortified by this that she calls animal control and has them, like, in one of the most heartbreaking scenes I think
she's
I've ever seen in cinema.
Yeah. For this. And I wanted her to die for the rest of the movie.
Yeah, you got these two animal control guys hauling off this wonderful dog who's just trying to protect his family.
Mm-hmm.
And the dog doesn't want to leave. And the entire time, Uncle Ted's just sitting there like, fuck you, dog.
Right. Well, the
fuck
dog doesn't want to leave because he knows his family's in danger.
Proud of himself. He overnight goes from being Uncle Ted to being this fucking asshole.
Right. He's just a smug douche.
And then he immediately goes and pisses on the doghouse.
Yeah. So like, just like Thor pissed on the tire of his house.
Yep.
Once he's, claimed victory by having the dog taken away to animal control. He goes in the backyard and pisses on the doghouse, even though the dog's not there to smell it or anything like that. It's just, it's symbolic, I guess.
Mm-hmm. I think the big difference is between Thor not trying to like maul Flopsy and then him trying to take Uncle Ted's arm off, though, is he knows Uncle Ted's much more of a dangerous
threat. Yes,
he's a dangerous threat. Flopsy, you're going to do what you want with kind of thing. But
he was just trying to intimidate Flopsy.
Yes, I believe that. He wanted to intimidate Flopsy, but Uncle Ted, it was on.
But in that scene where Thor's getting carted off, like you have Dennis the Menace and he's trying to save the dog and the mom's holding him back. And that entire time, like, the dog is trying to get free because, like, he doesn't want to leave his family unprotected.
Yeah.
And like, you just feel, like, so bad for this dog because he didn't really do anything wrong.
No.
You know.
Thor's a good boy.
Yeah, Thor's a very good boy. And the kid is trying to rescue his dog. And the mom's just, like, holding him back. And it's all her fucking fault.
Yeah.
That this is happening.
Actually.
Orchestrated by Ted, but yeah.
Uncle Ted's fault.
Right.
Well, but
Uncle Ted. So the reason why Uncle Ted is there, he's like, can't find a cure. I guess I'll go infect my family. Maybe they'll cure me.
If they love me, they'll fix me. And it didn't happen.
The thing about that, though, is like in a previous scene, Marilyn Hemingway found evidence that her brother's girlfriend got killed.
He sees a picture of her dead body.
Yeah, and she starts
fucking mangled.
Yeah, she starts rooting through his stuff again, finds his journal where he's talking about blacking
out. Nobody
in
this family has boundaries. Correct.
Yeah, and so like her instinct is to send away the dog instead of her brother.
Yeah.
Right.
And meanwhile, we have all of these news stories that are like, another hiker was found mangled. Another tree hugger guy was found dismembered. And she's like, I think my dog has rabies.
But in between episodes of Jenny Jones.
Yes. So, yeah.
Very, very 1990s. So the whole distrust of the dog thing is kind of like furthered by the sheriff who comes by. And
yeah.
Kind of
fucking eyebrows.
Yeah. It talks about that, you know, they found, what's his name's body?
Flopsy.
They found Flopsy's body. And her.
They didn't say where they found it.
Yeah, that was kind of interesting because I'm sure the werewolf would have drug him off somewhere. But I mean, when we last see Flopsy, he throws him just into the woods somewhere kind of thing. But where did they find him?
And why isn't she a suspect?
Right. Yeah, that's a good point.
They found her business card on the body.
Yes. Uh-huh.
And so they're like, it's a woman. She couldn't possibly have done this.
Right.
And the sheriff is suggesting that her German shepherd, like, cut this guy in half and mauled him and stuff like that.
And then drug him out there.
Yeah. Right.
So he planted that seed of doubt about the dog, which leads to the animal control coming and taking this dog away.
I want
to
know where that cleaver went.
Yeah. But so now that the dog isn't there to protect them, Uncle Ted becomes a real dickhead.
Mm-hmm.
Like super dickhead.
Immediately.
Yeah. And
well, like you said, though, that's the heel turn moment, though. Once Thor goes away, it's all Uncle Ted's family now. It's not Thor's family anymore. Yeah. It's Uncle Ted. So then there's the heel
turn. Then he becomes the
alpha. Yes, he's the alpha, but he's a douche alpha. Mm-hmm. And yeah, there you have it.
So night falls and Dennis the Menace sneaks out and he's like, I'm going to rescue my dog.
Yeah, thank God. The one good thing he does.
Yeah, so he goes to the pound. And as he's on his way to the pound, Uncle Ted is going into the woods to chain himself up, but his sister is now keeping an eye out.
And because he's talking, he can't cuff himself.
Well, yeah, so she finds him in the woods and he's about to cuff himself to a tree.
Right.
Janet?
I thought that part was pretty cool.
I like it when werewolves, when they make it a point to be like, they have
enhance
superior.
Their canine
senses,
yeah. Right, yeah.
Yeah, cool. So she sees him and she's like, Ted, what are you doing?
You doing weird sex stuff with your handcuffs? Yeah. Can I watch?
And he was like, well, I was going to chain myself to this tree to protect you, but now that you've seen me in my underwear out here in the woods.
Yeah.
And by the way, there's a shot where like he's in his underpants and then like in the next shot, he's in sweatpants.
Uh-huh.
So big continuity break there. But he's like, well, now that you see me almost handcuffing myself to the sex tree, I now have to kill you because you're going to see me transform anyway.
Yeah.
So basically like, he has plenty of time to chain himself up.
He does.
But I think there was a realization, or I'm making excuses for Uncle Ted here, people, or the writers of the movie. But I think at that point, too, he realized why he came there. The family love is going to help me control this somehow, much like David Banner trying to do stuff for the Hulk kind of stuff. But at that point, before he chains himself up, I think he's given up.
Yeah.
He knows that this family love thing is not going to work. I'm just going to kill everyone now.
Yeah, he's
at this
like,
point.
So they didn't cure me. So I guess fuck them.
Fuck them.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, and so we get a big CG transformation of Uncle Ted into the werewolf.
Not the greatest.
No, we knew that, and yeah.
Yeah, and Meryl Hemingway witnesses this, and so she starts running away.
It takes her forever to run across her lawn.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Thor gets home from the pound in less time.
Well, speaking of which, so as that's happening, Dennis the Menace breaks into the pound, frees Thor, and Thor just like leaves him in his dust. He's like jumps over the fence, starts running down the street, causing all types of traffic
that
accidents.
That kid did the one thing he needed to. We're done here.
Yeah. So just as the werewolf kind of corners Meryl Hemingway in her son's room after she clocked him, right? Mm-hmm. Where she like threw the grandfather clock on top of the werewolf.
That's great.
Uncle Ted, as in his werewolf form, is about to kill Meryl Hemingway.
And she's running through her house trying to get to her son, who she thinks is in his room.
Right. Yes, but he's
escaped. She doesn't know he's like rescuing the dog. So she's trying to get to her son to protect him.
Yeah.
She gets to her son's room, opens the door. He's not in his bedroom.
And she's got her gun, but she doesn't have it loaded yet.
Yeah.
So she's got the bullets in the gun, but
she really should have loaded that gun yesterday.
Yeah. It should be loaded, but at the same time, mind you, this is a revolver, people. It's like a six shooter that she's using. It would have been fairly dangerous to be panicking and trying to load a six shooter as you're running upstairs and stuff like that. You're going to blow your leg off.
A six shooter that apparently fires 8 shots, but that's
the second you found your brother's death journal.
Right.
Like in his murder photographs.
His murder journal.
Load your gun.
Yeah, so anyway, the werewolf breaks in. He's about to kill his sister, and then Thor arrives, and we get
dun, da, da, da.
Yeah, we get the full on dog versus werewolf fight to the death,
the knockdown, drag out, biting, scratching, throwing.
Very invested.
I mean, it's a wrestling. It's a hardcore.
Dude, blood
wrestling
is flying everywhere. Yes. Like they're clawing at each other. They're biting each other. It's pretty graphic.
Yeah.
And then Meryl Hemingway finally like has the time to load her fucking gun.
Finally.
And she fires the six shooter 8 times into the werewolf. and so like we know that werewolves are vulnerable to bullets, but she doesn't kill him. And so once Thor recovers and sees that the werewolf is still standing, he like body checks the werewolf out through the window and they both fall 2 stories to the ground below. Mm-hmm. And for a minute there, you think Thor's dead.
I was very upset.
Yeah. But the werewolf gets up and starts stumbling into the woods. And then Thor gets up and he's like, where do you think you're going, bitch?
And he follows him. Yep.
Yeah. Well, Thor has a little rest his eyes until the sun comes up. And then he goes and finds Uncle Ted, who he can absolutely kill.
Yeah. Uncle Ted, once he reverts back to his human form, is really fucked up.
Yeah.
And when he sees Thor standing there like eyeing him, he's just like,
yeah.
Right. But he knows it's over too. Yeah. And I mean, Uncle Ted at that point knows this, whatever this game is, it's over now.
And
tells Thor to finish it.
This might be controversial, but I am an advocate for kill yourself if you are a monster that is a danger to people and dogs.
Well, if you're a bad guy, you're trying to preserve your own life.
Right.
So we don't see Thor deliver the killing blow, but it's very much implied that Thor,
you hear the crunch,
flesh
and stuff like that.
Thor saved the day.
And then we cut to an indeterminate amount of time later. They're fixing up the front of the house. Meryl Hemingway goes in.
I hate this scene.
Thor is just kind of chilling out and she's like, oh, you're such a good boy. Like, I hope you're feeling better. And then Thor turns into a werewolf.
And I went, what? And then it was a dream.
Yeah, and then Meryl Hemingway wakes up and it's like, oh, it was only a dream. And we see like Thor all bandaged up.
And we hear Jude go, God damn it.
Right. Yeah.
And Thor's all bandaged up. He comes up to mommy. He's like, did you have a bad dream, mommy?
That scene got me.
Oh, like you guys really should have seen Jude's reaction to that scene. Because
You can on Patreon.
Yeah, yeah. On Lynn's Patreon, go check it out. But her reaction was just so funny.
That was very upsetting.
She's like, I can't believe they did that to the dog.
Thor's a good boy. He didn't deserve that.
All right. So, Lynn, any final thoughts? And can you give this movie a rating?
Rating, sure. Do we want to do it a 0 to 5, 0 to 10? What do you think? Are we going IMDb or 0 to 5?
One is a 1-star crap fest.
Okay.
5 is 5-star, obviously 5 stars.
So it's 1 to 5.
Yeah.
1 to 5 on an enjoyability scale, I put it at a solid 4.
Okay.
in just terms of you will have fun watching this movie. You are not going to have any regrets watching this movie. You know what I mean? So in that term of just having fun with film, I would give Bad Moon a solid 4.
Okay.
All right. So Jude.
Yeah.
What would you rate Bad Moon? And do you have any final thoughts on
it? I do. So I want to put this just in the realm that it is. It is a werewolf movie. And I think it's tough to do a really good werewolf movie. It's oh, yeah. real hit and miss with werewolves. And it's either great or it's so bad it might also be good. I thought it was really good. I really enjoyed it. I'm surprised I haven't seen this before. I'm so glad that you recommended it. I'm so glad that we watched it today. And for me, in the realm of werewolf movies, this is like a 4.5
wow.
Thors.
4.5, really?
4.5 Thors.
So how would you compare it to Silver Bullets with Gary Busey?
Shit.
I was just going to say, if I can interject for a second. Yeah, I think this is important in our scale here to interject.
Uh-huh.
We have the movies, and you mentioned this. This was a perfect example, Matt. So yeah, you mentioned the Silver Bullets. That's mm-hmm. where a movie like Bad Moon, I think, should be lumped into is that.
That's where it lives.
That thing. The Howling sequels,
mm-hmm.
Silver Bullet, that kind of stuff. This is not meant to be in the category with like American Werewolf in London and stuff like that.
What about Ginger Snaps?
I would put Ginger Snaps in the American Werewolf in London category, to be
you
honest.
Would.
I would
okay.
put it in a different kind of dramatic area for werewolf
I just
films.
Want to watch werewolf movies all night now.
But go ahead with the analogy to the Silver Bullet.
Yeah, yeah. What was your take on the Silver Bullet
okay.
comparison?
So for me, Silver Bullet is a classic. And Silver Bullet gets 5 bullets for me. It's got Busey. And it's got a wheelchaired Haim, R.I.P.
Yeah. Not just a wheelchair, but a souped up
the,
wheelchair.
The rocket. Yeah. I forget what the
Red Rocket.
Oh, I think it's called the Silver Bullet. The wheelchair. Oh, the yeah, wheelchair yeah, is called bullet. The Silver
That's
Bullet.
The wheelchair.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Also, I read the book, and that always amps things up for me. I do want to read this book. I actually put it in my Kindle as yep. we were talking.
Thor by Wayne Smith.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah, for me, I always have a special place in my heart. And it's probably because I watched it years ago and it's got the nostalgia points for me. So for me, Silver Bullet is just a little bit better. This is a great, great werewolf movie. Though.
And I'm just
and
a 10 tiny,
years later.
And I'm just a tiny bit the other direction.
Yeah.
I think where this movie succeeds is in pacing and effects and all that stuff. They probably should be better when a movie that's filmed 10 years later. But
I will say this movie looks better.
Right, better photography, better effects.
And
better
the things. Werewolf looks so much better.
I think the thing where Silver Bullet succeeds that Bad Moon doesn't is you kind of really care about the characters that they live and stuff in Silver Bullet. In this one, I mean, if Dennis the Menace would have died, would it have been a heartbreaking thing in the movie for me? Not really. If Meryl Hemingway dies, you know, if the werewolf wins in Bad Moon, does it ruin the movie for me?
Honestly,
not really.
Everyone in Silver Bullet except for Corey Haim is a piece of shit. Like Busey he's the drunkle.
Yeah.
His mom is just like, oh, my crippled son, blah, you're drunk. And everyone's terrible. Everyone also deserves to die. But it's so much fun watching them die.
Yeah. You care about Corey Haim.
You do care about Corey Haim.
And
his sister.
I think people could struggle to care about the Meryl Hemingway character and things like that.
Yeah.
And really, the only really two characters you really have to care about in this movie is either your feelings towards Uncle Ted or your feelings towards Thor.
Yeah.
What about Flopsy?
Flopsy.
I can't say it. I can't say it.
Fuck.
Flopsy.
The best reaction is when he came back with a meat cleaver to kill everyone. And she's like, oh, it's this fucking guy. I found that really funny. But yeah. But Matt, now it is your turn, my friend.
Yeah. So I was surprised at how much I enjoyed this movie.
Oh, I'm glad.
Because I don't typically like werewolf movies. And I went into this thinking like,
it's a Len movie. Len chose this. Fuck
not,
Len.
Not necessarily that, because you did choose The Hunted, and that was a great, great choice.
It's not all about you, Len.
Yeah. Yeah, shut the fuck up, Len. you know, like you had told me the story about how like this was the book that inspired you to name your dog Thor.
Yeah.
And you had described the story to me before, and you said, oh, and they made a movie of it in the 90s. I was like, oh, we should try checking out that movie because Jude really likes werewolf movies.
Yeah.
I'm all about that.
Yeah. So like I typically don't like the movies that Jude likes.
This is true. Most people don't.
Especially when it's like in the horror genre.
Yeah.
But I was surprised at like how much
you're a good sport.
I really enjoyed this film. You know, there's just something about movies where the main character is the dog. That,
love it.
Yeah, like it just pulls on your heartstrings, you know? So like I was very invested in the dog. This movie to me is a solid 3 sex handcuffs out of 5.
Okay.
It was very enjoyable. It was very well made. It was well paced. The constant Stallone impression took me out every time that guy
so
opened
bad.
His mouth.
Yeah. And it's missing Busey.
And it's
got a lack of Busey.
Like we even said, well, we were watching this. I was like, this has a severe lack of Gary Busey.
Yeah.
I'll say this though. If it did, then you're talking about going towards more of the book. You'd have to insert another like character and give them screen time and make the movie a little longer.
Might Busey could have been the dad. Yeah,
Busey could have been the dad is what I'm getting at.
Yeah.
Or you expand the sheriff role and make Busey the sheriff.
Fun
and
fact,
give him a few more scenes.
Anytime Kadish or I want two of things, we go, Utah.
Give me two. but another big issue for me was Mariel Hemingway.
Yeah.
Like I've never liked her as an actress. And Lynn, you pointed out when we were watching this that her and the director did not get along. In fact, they hated each other.
Yes, her and the director apparently hated each other. And in the climatic scene at the end when Uncle Ted in werewolf form is going to kill Mariel Hemingway in her son's bedroom there, apparently he had worked her up in real life so badly because he was not getting the performance and stuff. So they're yelling and screaming at each other and stuff like that. And then he just rolled stuff because apparently her face was all red and angry from them just fighting that he said, we're rolling the scene. And she was really worked up from arguing with him like seconds before that.
Fuck.
Well, yeah, it was apparently a pretty contentious relationship.
I'm kind of siding with the director here because I didn't think her performance throughout the entire film was very good.
She's a strong, independent woman. What more do you need?
You know, I don't think she's bad per se in it. So that's, you got to tip your cat to Eric Red there for getting out of her what he could. But typically, this is not Mariel Hemingway's forte in terms of...
It's also not her movie.
Right. It's not her movie, but I don't think she's terrible. I think, again, the real stars of this show are not her or Dennis the Menace, who are probably under Warner Brothers contract at that point.
Well, I feel like we needed a more like an Ashley Judd type in this role or something like that.
More sympathetic?
Yeah. Well... Not Ashley Judd, but an Ashley Judd type.
An Ashley Judd type.
Wesley Snipes type.
Yeah, exactly. No, like, I just feel like, because whenever I see Mariel Hemingway, I just think Superman 4 and like how bad that fucking movie was. Every time she was on screen, like, I just didn't buy her performance. She seemed very stiff.
Let's do this. I got a game. You just not to interrupt you, but I'll lose my train of thought. And I think this is an interesting thing. Recast the movie. Who do you put in the roles?
Corey Haim.
It's kind of cheap, but okay. We'll go with it. You can have anybody.
Keanu Reeves.
Oh, obviously.
Mark Wahlberg.
Keanu Reeves as Flopsy.
Yeah.
I'm going to sue you.
At least, at least if you had to recast Ted Hemingway.
This is 90s, so obviously Joey Lauren Adams as the strong female.
Okay.
Mother.
I don't even know who that is.
You don't know who Joey Lauren Adams is?
No.
You ever watch a Kevin Smith movie?
With Kevin Smith movies.
What was it? Kissing?
Chasing Amy.
Chasing Amy.
No, I don't. My problem with Kevin Smith movies is there's always some goofy ass Star Wars reference. I get it. You love Star Wars, dude, but I don't need it in every freaking movie.
Len, I've never been more attracted to you.
Just saying, there's a goofy ass Star Wars, and it's goofy every time. It's something stupid. We get it. You love Star Wars. Make your damn movie, dude.
Okay.
Star Wars has been made. We don't need you to tell us that it's been made in.
So
you know,
Uncle Ted, obviously, yeah. Sylvester Stallone. Sylvester Stallone.
Whoa.
Obviously.
You're making Uncle Ted Stallone.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, he's now the older brother. So
I'm going to go. Can I do my casting?
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm old and it'll slip through my old brain here. But now remember the time period this is filmed. We're filming it in 1996. Okay. Uncle Ted for me, Nicolas Cage.
Jesus. Ooh,
good choice.
Uncle Ted
this
is Nicolas Cage.
This just became a noir movie.
My choice for Uncle Ted is Nicolas Cage.
Now overacting, $20 million a year, Jerry Bruckheimer.
I'm a werewolf. Nicolas
Cage. I'm going to take your face off.
Why don't you let go of my handcuffs, sis? Or whatever. But,
oh, can you imagine Nicolas Cage chained to a tree, a sex tree, turning into a werewolf? Be like,
I'm telling you.
Oh.
By the way, this guy looks like he's fucking a tree.
Yeah, every time.
Yeah.
Even in werewolf form, the werewolf looked like he was fucking the tree.
Yeah, he's...
But, I mean, props to Perret. I think Perret's good in this, but and he's shredded ripped in it, so he didn't do the bad nude thing. He's pretty muscular and in really good shape.
No, but it really should have been Nicolas Cage.
My choice
if Sylvester
Cage.
Stallone was not available.
I don't even know who else you have recast this with, but I choose your cast.
Well, maybe you'll disagree with my choice for Janet, but Gina Davis is my choice for Janet.
I love Gina
so
Davis.
It would be Gina Davis versus Nicolas Cage for me. So.
Okay. But this is Rennie Harlan era Gina Davis, correct?
1996, yes. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, so Long Kiss Goodnight Gina Davis.
Yes, Long Kiss Goodnight Gina Davis, yes.
I can see that. Strong and female character,
prefer,
don't need no man.
And this is face-off Nicolas Cage era.
I prefer Earth Girls or Easy Gina Davis.
Well, then you have to cast Jeff Goldblum as Uncle Ted.
Fuck, yes.
if you went the Cronenberg way, yes.
Werewolves
if I had to find
a way.
If I had to have a backup of, Nick Cage, 97, he's just not popular yet, but he's around doing stage theater. He ends up being a very popular actor, but I would have went with Hugh Jackman after. But Nick Cage is my choice, and Gina Davis is my choice for Janet.
Okay. Well, who would you have cast as Flopsy?
Yeah. Who's your Flopsy?
I can't not see Keanu now, but it can't be Keanu, but it's just like...
I mean, like he hadn't done Matrix yet.
Honestly,
so.
You want my casting choice for Flopsy, Michael Moriarty.
Okay.
I don't know who that is.
He's a really good actor. From Q. Have you ever seen Q, the Flying Serpent?
Nope.
It's Alive 3, Island of the Alive. If you'll look him up, he looks like Flopsy. His hairline and everything
is
the
same. We'll put a picture
same.
Of him right here.
Right. Yeah. Michael Moriarty is my choice for Flopsy. He would have never accepted that role in a zillion years. So we would have had to throw buckets of money at him to do Bad Moon because he would have never taken a part like this. But Michael Moriarty, Nick Cage, Gina Davis, the child role. I'd have to really give it some thought. I'd have to think it had to probably be somebody that was doing television or something.
I think Mark Hamill would have done a good Flopsy.
Okay, I can totally see that.
Okay.
Hamill would have done it to it. Yeah. In that period, he would have done it,
and
sure.
The child actor had to have been a Culkin.
Yeah.
Yeah,
the Mark Hamill choice for Flopsy, I really, really like. Yeah, I dig that.
Hey, kids.
All right, I'm going to do mine.
Okay.
Okay. Dennis the Menace, Daniel Radcliffe.
Now you would have been that age, right? Yeah, that's cool. Yeah, I like it.
Flopsy, Ashton Kutcher.
I'll take Mark Hamill. He's right on that. But, yeah.
Janet, Demi Moore.
Okay, yeah. I can.
I'm going to stick with, for Uncle Ted, I'm going to stick with Keanu Reeves.
For Uncle Ted?
Whoa. Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe Patrick Swayze.
Oh, that's a nice choice.
Oh,
yes,
no, I got it.
I can totally see Patrick
Swayze
doing it. That's a very good choice, yeah.
Sam Elliott.
He's too old.
In the 90s?
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't pick Sam. I'll go with his choice over that. Stallone.
Fine.
but I'm going to stick with Nick Cage. That's who I think would do a great job. I'm sticking with my casting decisions there.
There are so many great actors that could have played roles in this movie that just didn't.
Give me, I'll take a reboot. I'll take a reboot.
We need to have like a werewolf cinematic universe where all the werewolf movies from the 80s and 90s merge.
Yeah.
So you'd have The Howling merge with Silver Bullet.
Oh, shit.
And if you go into the 90s, then we're talking about a higher budgeted film, Wolf, with Jack Nicholson
and Michelle Pfeiffer. Yeah.
James Spader, I think, is one of the villain, maybe, in that movie.
Benicio del Toro's Wolfman.
Yeah. Who is in Day Shift, Franco?
Dave Franco
for Ted.
Yeah.
If we're all of my choices. If we're recasting it today, then I'm taking Hugh Jackman as Ted.
Okay.
Who's Flopsy?
Today.
Rob Schneider.
Fuck that guy. You know what? I would cast it just so I can do the death scene of him and watch his fingers.
Jason Statham. I hate him.
Oh, God. As Flopsy, though, I like it. As Flopsy, I like it.
He might be.
Hey, kid.
He might be a good Uncle Ted.
Have you heard about
these giant sharks? I could see him as Uncle Ted, actually, too. But if I'm casting Uncle Ted, I'll go with Jackman. Flopsy today. I don't know. It's got to be somebody that can play nerdy and stuff.
Mark Wahlberg.
But yet creepy. No.
The bees are dying, you guys.
Somebody, this fucking cleaver. I don't know what to do with it.
Somebody like that's thin and nerdy would have to be.
Crispin Glover.
Okay, I like that. I like Crispin Glover as that. Yeah, I'll take that as Flopsy. Janet today.
Chelsea Handler.
I think with the current
don't need no man.
I'm gonna go with Zeta Jones. I think for really? Janet
that
today.
Old, that old.
I think. Well, I mean, she's still not. She's not.
Maybe we should cast Jenna Ortega.
Too young.
I'm gonna say Angelina Jolie.
Oh, that might be a good choice.
Yeah, I could see that. Yeah, I don't hate that.
Jennifer Aniston.
Fine.
Jennifer Aniston would nail that role.
You think?
Yeah.
Totally. I'm not opposed to that. I mean,
I don't think she can pull off lawyer.
There's a lot to. Yeah, the lawyer part might be a little bit of a stretch.
Oh, we dust Demi Moore off. Bring her back.
Right, right. Yeah. Right.
Ashton Kutcher, Demi Moore, reunited.
Yeah.
We can get Bruce Willis to play Flopsy.
Oh, my God. The whole family. And Rumor Willis can play Dennis the Menace.
Of course.
But in today's world, I could totally see Jason Statham there doing Uncle Ted. Yeah. I mean, I don't like it, but I could see him, you know.
I'm excited to see Jason Statham get killed in anything. I want the shark to kill him.
A German Shepherd would kill him in the Bad Moon 4.
You just want to see Jason Statham fucking a tree.
I'm telling you, you guys are gonna.
You're ruining tree fucking for me.
You're gonna keep in visualizing, Nick Cage being chained up to the fuck tree. I'm telling you, it's spectacular to think about.
I'm into it.
I want to get an AI to generate that scene for us. That would be brilliant. Hear us, Nick Cage. We're coming for you.
Yep, for the Bad Moon reboot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Well, thank you so much for tuning in to this episode, the special episode with filmmaker Lynn Kabuzinski. Lynn, where can people find more of you and help support you in your filmmaking endeavors?
The very best way to support my works is patreon.com/killerwolffilms. You sign up for as cheap as $2. All my movies are on there. Download, watch them. Podcasts, guest spots by me on other shows and things like that. It's all on there. It really is the best way to support my works, past, present, future. Patreon.com/killerwolffilms.
And Jude, where can people find more of you?
You can find me right here on the Salty Nerd Podcast. And I mean, if you want to look for me, I am Jude Juju on the socials. And you can see my website at thevoiceofjude.com and check out my voice work. Oh, also, I have a new book. It's called Trial by Fire, Dragon Guard. It's on Audible. It's really good.
Yeah, you play the lead in that.
I am the main character and I'm the narrator.
All right, guys, thank you so much for tuning in. And if you haven't already, be sure to like and subscribe. And we will catch you next time. Stay salty, my friends.
Hey, guys, if you like this podcast, don't forget to like and subscribe to the channel and comment below on your favorite video as well. That goes a long way with helping us boost our channel and get out there in front of more people. And it lets YouTube know that we're doing something right. And if you want to catch us live, we go live 2 times a week, once on Saturdays at 10 a.m. Pacific time and on Tuesdays at 1:30 p.m. Pacific time. So join us there in the chat. We will see you on the live stream. Stay salty.